Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive. The message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best. And the Lord Jesus answers for you. If you have any comments, ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. And for those of you who don't like giving your comments and your prayer requests over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you once again for the blessed word of God today. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you're going to do, and this opportunity you've given us to assemble together in Jesus' name. Now, therefore, Lord, we petition you once again in humility, acknowledging that you are the all-wise God, and we ask for the presence of your spirit as we take this journey into this lesson today. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord God, that you would anoint the words of my mouth that it may bring glory and honor to your name. I ask that your spirit would take these words into the hearts of men and begin to unveil truths that they have not seen once before. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. And, Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I want to start out today reading. It's verse 6 from what is called the Articles in Faith and Practice. That the church, the Lord inspired the men to write for the church to stand on. I want to read, it is number 6 or verse 6, if you want to call it, out of the Articles in Faith and Practice. And once again, I say to all you that's listening, all that I give you, take it to the Lord Jesus. Now, number or verse 6 in the Articles in Faith and Practice said, we believe in the literal second coming and millennial reign of Jesus Christ, in the resurrection of the dead, and in eternal judgment, that men will be rewarded or punished according to the good or evil they may have done. Amen. Now, for those of you who've been following me, following us right on Blog Talk Radio, and been following the series that I've been doing individually entitled Renouncing Mormonism, where we are on a new section today. It is called Renouncing Mormonism, the Coming, Resurrection, and Eternal Judgment. Renouncing Mormonism, the Coming, the Resurrection, and Eternal Judgment. And in these parts of this series, I've been showing you how that the Mormons' teaching has been contrary to the very word of God, which gives not only Christians in the Church of Christ the life and message, but every other true believing Christian the right to renounce Mormonism, not to once again speak hate, for you to have hate against the Mormons, pray that their souls will be saved, but to come against the Mormonism teaching, especially us in the Church of Christ the life and message. It gives us the right to renounce Mormonism because Joseph Smith, who at one time was a man of God, used of the Lord in this work of restitution and restoration, failed. He got off in the erring path. He started what is called Mormonism, and through him, Mormonism has been, quote, about connected to this work of restitution and restoration. Therefore, we have the right to renounce it because it is an ungodly teaching, ungodly doctrine. And the Lord, through these articles in faith and practice, and through his word alone in the Bible, the word of the Lord and the record of Nephites, gives us the very right to renounce Mormonism. Now, before I go any further, I had got a request from an individual in my email. And the request actually was something that had come to me back here a while ago, and I didn't act on it. I felt, or I really believe in my spirit at one point I will have to do it because it's something very needful in the body of Christ. So I want to announce starting this week, the Lord say the same, because as many times God will give you more than one witness let's put it this way, you have to, because it is his protocol. And sometimes we think that certain things we're thinking is just us. When the Lord is witnessing to us about something, he will give you another witness. And what I mean to this is that I believe that in the church, that there needs to be another particular section set aside for the teaching of what we will look at as evangelistic work. In other words, teaching how to go out into the field of ministry, out to labor out in the field, how to minister to those of other religions. Okay, I think that this is another part where we have failed in the church in properly getting people prepared to go out and minister to those of other religions. So the Lord say the same. This week, starting today I will be dealing with the Mormonism, and each day for this week, I'll be dealing with different religions, what they believe, and how we can minister the word of God to them. So today we're dealing with the Mormonism, and I don't know, this may be an every other week thing, because there are other things that I believe God has been dealing with me to deal with. For example, I still have not concluded the series on the martial arts, the evil of martial arts, so that's still going on. So, amen, glory to God. So I wanted to get that out of the way as we proceed on. Now, in the Articles of Faith and Practice, it said that we believe, okay, in the literal second coming and millennial reign of Jesus Christ, in the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, we believe that men will be rewarded or punished according to the good or evil they may have done. Now, I want to read to you concerning what the Jehovah Witness, and this is a particular thing that they speak on in dealing with that is connected with this resurrection and eternal judgment and all that, especially the resurrection part and the eternal judgment. And I want you to hear, and we're going to go into some scriptures about this and why this is contradicted to the word of God. So I want to give in 1 research article, The Second Coming in Mormonism, Wikipedia. And I want to read to you what is said here about what the Mormons teach, especially in dealing with the second coming of Christ and what they're talking about need to be established. But it's a particular thing, and I will get to you on that point in a minute. But it says, the LDS Church teaches that God loves all people. Now, that's true, both those who are present on the earth as well as those that have been on the earth previously. LDS theology holds that all people will be resurrected because of the atonement of Christ. However, in order to gain exaltation, now we talked about that in other series where I tell you that, I show you that the Mormons believe that all can become gods, you, me, and everybody else, especially if you come through the Mormon way. Okay. It said there are certain ordinances which must be performed while on the earth, including baptism, confirmation, temple endowment, celestial marriage. The LDS Church believes that God will provide a way for those who have not received the required ordinance to have the work done for them. Okay. Now, we talked about that, too, when I show you that they believe in what is called a baptism for the dead. Human beings will not miss the chance to get into heaven due to failing to learn about or embrace Latter-day Saint teachings, not the teaching of Christ, Latter-day Saint teachings, while alive. Through temple work done by living proxies and through missionary work taking place in the spirit world. Well, now, what missionary work needed to take place in the spirit world? We'll talk about it in a minute. The church claims that all people will have the opportunity, all people, that includes those who are dead people, okay? That's what they mean by taking place in the spirit world. The church claims that all people will have the opportunity to accept these ordinances, even if not until after they have died. It is believed that those who have died who have not received these ordinances or do not know or understand about Christ will be taught in the afterlife. I keep stressing on that because that's what we're going to deal with today. This work is done similar to the way missionary work is done in life. It is believed in the afterlife, individuals retain their beliefs, knowledge, and agency, and they will be able to choose for themselves what they desire. Having the work done for them does nothing unless they desire it. It will not change their religion, beliefs, or feelings unless they themselves decide to accept the work done for them. LDS church members currently perform this work by researching genealogical records for the names of deceased persons and their families, performing ordinances such as baptism and marriage with living proxies in temple ceremonies. Church members believe that those who have died who have also received these ordinances act as missionaries to the unconverted who have passed on in an effort to persuade them to accept the work done on their behalf. Notice to keep stressing that missionary work is done to people that have died in the afterlife. They missionary work is still being done to them. They're dead. They still get a chance to make a decision in the afterlife. And accept the parts of the gospel that they did not learn or accept in life. Latter-day Saints believe that this work will continue after the second coming of Christ. During a Latter-day Saints referred to as the millennium. So they're going to keep on, I guess you just keep on doing missionary work to people that are dead, you know, already dead. You're going to keep on doing missionary work to them, except those that have not accept, quote, the gospel. This is going to be done in the millennium. The LDS church teaches that Jesus Christ will return to the earth to prepare for ordinance, that's these ordinances I mentioned to you, which includes the baptism, and conversion work to be done for all people who have ever lived, as well as to prepare the earth itself for the completion of his mission as a testing ground for human souls. Now, you notice that they're stressing on people that have died and, quote, have not received the gospel. Still, missionary work is going to be done to them in the afterlife, and they still, while they're dead, in the afterlife, will still be able to make a choice. Now, let me go to another site here, and this is called Mormonism, Afterlife, and Salvation, patheos.com. And I think this is their website here. Yeah, the Religion Library of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, let me read to you what it says here, okay? Now, and okay, so it says, and it talks about the same thing I just read to you from Mormon, Second Coming in Mormonism, Wikipedia. It says here, in Mormon teaching, the final judgment comes in stages. The first stage occurs immediately after death. The disembodied spirit is judged as to its general goodness and is assigned to one of two places, which would be what? Paradise or spirit prison. Those souls in paradise enjoy peace or conscience in a time of rest. Those in spirit prison, by contrast, are tormented by guilt and are denied rest. Both groups, however, suffer because they are separated from their physical bodies, something that, according to Mormon scripture, the spirits view as a form of bondage at the time of Christ's resurrection from the dead. The inhabitants of paradise were also resurrected. Those who enter the spirit world are Christ's resurrection, however, must await resurrection until the time of Christ's second coming on earth. Okay. Now, it talks about those in the spirit prison, okay? And how that they even get a chance now, and there's another part to this that I would be doing, and I'm just going with so much today. But they literally teaches that even when you die and go on, if you have not accept what they call the gospel, you still will be ministered to and be given a chance. Even though you are in the spirit prison. In fact, it says here, Mormons believe that missionary work continues among the spirits waiting in prison. Now, he's talking about those that have died and have not accept, quote, the gospel, is in a spirit prison, okay? And it says that Mormons believe that missionary work continues among the spirits waiting in prison, and those who accept the teachings of the church in prison are eligible for the celestial kingdom. Now, we're going to talk about the kingdoms at another time, okay? Even if you have rejected the gospel, have not accepted Christ, and you are dead, you have gone on into the afterlife, you still have a chance, okay? As they said, accept the teachings of the church. Now, what church are they talking about? The Mormon church. See, everything's centered around the Mormon church. The Mormons, they said their church is the one, the number one. You know, it's like the Roman Catholic church. You know, when the Church of Christ was destroyed, the Roman Catholics are saying, no, it didn't. It continued with us. But see, the Mormons are saying they are the church. So you have to come through the Mormon church to have all these good benefits to come your way. Okay. So having looked at that, this is what we're dealing with today. The common thing I wanted you to hear was how that the Mormons, if you listen to, they say that even if you have not accepted the gospel, you have not accepted the teaching of the church, and you die, and you go into the afterlife, you ain't accepted the gospel of Christ, and you die, and you go into the afterlife, missionary work still is going to be done to you. And you still have an opportunity to make a decision, and you still become eligible into going what they call the celestial kingdom. Okay. Now, remember when I did the series with you guys on baptism for the dead, they believe that if you get baptized for the dead, you know, that'll take care of them. Okay. But they said all this thing is hinged on the dead got to have a desire to want to accept. So, basically, this is what they're saying. Now, the Word of God tells us and shows us that it is in this lifetime, okay, and I want you to hear this, okay, mankind, that's you the listener, whether you're a man or woman, okay, and get this, whether you save or unsaved. Now, hear me on this. Mankind chooses this day. In this lifetime, you choose this day. This day you choose in this lifetime, here on earth, what your destiny going to be in the hereafter. You hear what I'm saying? So let me put it to you again in a nutshell. We're going to go into the scriptures. If you're being given the gospel and the gospel being presented to you, and you're rejecting it and rejecting it, you're saying, I don't want that, and I ain't going to accept the Lord, and I'm going to do my own thing, blah, blah, blah. You just talking a good time. And you die in your sins. Having rejected Christ, you're not given an opportunity in a hereafter to make a decision. You've already made a decision. You understand what I'm saying? You make the decision right now. This is why the gospel is being preached now. Not in the afterlife, but right now. You understand what I'm saying? That's why. Let's go into, in fact, we're going to go into the three books here. And let's start off with the Bible. And let's go Old Testament. Let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Book of Joshua, chapter 24. Let's go book of Joshua, chapter 24. And look at the word of God. God says through Joshua to Israel, to the people. Amen. The book of Joshua, chapter 24. And we're going to look at verse 15. Because remember, now some of you Old Testament hollers who already just start speaking at the top of your lungs when I just said, let's go to the Old Testament, understand something. You cannot throw the whole Old Testament away. There are some laws even in the Old Testament. It's a decree of God. Okay? There's no change. Okay? There's no change. Just like, for example, when God said, thou shalt serve no other gods, he said in the Old Testament, didn't he? So you're going to tell me he didn't got a New Testament, he's going to change after that because it's Old Testament? No. See, some things God speaking is decree that is unalterable. It's unchangeable. Okay? Now, look what he said, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. He said, Let's start at verse 14, okay? And this is what he said. He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Do you see that? Choose you this day whom you serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, listen, if you are going to be given a choice after you have rejected the word, and let's go to even the gospel in this lifetime, if you're going to be given a choice again or to make that choice in the afterlife, what would be the need of you choosing this day? He said here, he said, choose you this day. He didn't say choose when you get in the afterlife whom you're going to serve. He said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. So in this, is it going to be God, or is it going to be the God of your fathers, these other gods that your fathers took? You choose, okay? Because you have to go, see, where that which you choose, you got to go to the place where that God that you choose to serve dwells, or that place that is fitted for that God you choose to serve. Like, for example, the true and living God. Where you choose to serve the true and living God and you die, you have to go to the place our God dwells, or the place that is for him, paradise, heaven, okay? But if you choose to serve these other gods, which is really merely but demon gods, then you have to go to the place in the afterlife where the demon gods will be, or that was fitted for them. You understand what I'm saying? But if you had a chance in the afterlife to make this decision, there would be no need for Joshua to say, choose you this day. This day meaning this time. In this time, you choose. Choose this day whom you will serve. Do you get what I'm saying? If you didn't have to make that decision in this time, then once again, there would have been no need of Joshua making such a statement. It'd have been a waste of words. You get what I'm saying? Let's go to the book of John chapter 5. Let's go book of John chapter 5, okay? Book of John chapter 5. And as you study this, you will even come across more scriptures that will show that in this day you have to choose whom you will serve. In this day you have to choose whether to accept the gospel or not. If you didn't have to choose, once again, if you did not have to choose in this day and time, what is the need of the gospel being preached in this day and time? For what? If you can reject it and then die, go into the afterlife, being in what they call the spirit prison, and still have opportunity to make a decision, then you really didn't need the gospel to be preaching this lifetime or in this day. You could just wait till the what? The afterlife. And preach the gospel. See, many stuff they're teaching is not only ungodly, but it simply don't make no sense. Now look at John chapter 5, verse 29. Look what the word of God says. And he says, and look what he talks about in dealing with the resurrection. Let's go to verse 28 and 29. Okay, he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Okay? And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, notice that he said, they that have done, okay, good. They that have done evil. Done, the word done, as we know from in school, is a past tense action word. Okay. Now, a resurrection, for a person to be resurrected, they have died. Their spirit and soul is separate from their body. When they're being resurrected, it's being reunited. Okay. So they've died. Spirit went to that place, whether it is heaven or hell, which the Lord says the same. We'll talk about another time in connection with this. Now, that means that if they had done good or done evil before this resurrection, it had to be when? In this time. And so the action that they done, good or evil, tells the destiny, because you notice it said they that done good was resurrected what? Of life. They that done evil was resurrection of what? Damnation. Okay? Plain and simple, people. Plain and simple. Which shows what? That in this lifetime, that what they did, including their decision making, had a bearing on where they will be in the hereafter. You understand what I'm saying? This day and time, people, once you get into what is called the afterlife, that's it. Okay? That's it. You making a decision, you know, after you die, you know, to say, I want to accept the gospel. Amen. It's not going to work. It's this time, people. See, you see the type of resurrections there, too. Right here, we're reading resurrection of the good, resurrection of those that did evil. They did it, past tense, not going to do it, did it. And what they did, how they live on earth, how they did, puts them in whatever resurrection that they will come up in. It set their destiny for the hereafter. What did? What they did in this lifetime, okay? Because that's why I said the works they done. Not the works they're doing or will do, the works they done, past tense. Because they were dead, they had to be resurrected, okay? You understand that? Amen. So the works that they had done. So that means that what they did in this lifetime set the tone for them in the hereafter. You understand that? And so that even goes with if you in this lifetime is given the gospel of Jesus Christ and you reject it. I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. I don't want it. Quit coming to me. Stop it. You know, you have people even cuss you out when you talk to them about Christ and cussing Jesus. Okay. Then when the grace time is for them is up and they die in their sins and they go into the hereafter because they ain't going to paradise. People, let's be honest and straight with this. Let's quit sugarcoating stuff. And quit, I don't know. You know according to the word of God. The word of God tells you where people, those that reject Christ, where they're going. You know, I'm really getting tired of some Christians who trying to walk on easy eggs, the eggshell street. They don't want to say it because they're afraid people say, well, you judge it. If you call it what I'm judging, then I'm judging. The word of God tells me that. Brother Nate didn't come up with it. It'll be the same thing for Brother Nate. If Brother Nate rejects the gospel, I'm saved. Even if I got to a point say, I don't want to walk with Jesus no more, and I go back into sin and the Spirit of the Lord is pressed out of my life and it's gone, I commit the sin to death, then guess what, people? I'm not busting the pearly gates wide open. I'm busting hell wide open. Well, I'm just going to tell you the truth. Some of you, you know, listen, I'm not trying to tell you to be prideful or haughty, because you got to let people know that ain't saved, hey, I was in the same condition as you, and I had to get saved. But however, quit trying to cut avenues with the truth. You're taking scissors, and the truth is like paper, and you're cutting it off the edges, like you're trying to trim it down to get some, tell the truth. If they reject the gospel, hallelujah, after it being presented to them, and they die in their sins, people, that is it. Ain't no missionary work going to be done to them in the afterlife, especially after they have rejected the gospel. Their chance is right here. You understand what I'm saying? If the chance for them was not right here in this day, then there would be no need for you to preach the gospel. Christians, we got to think. We got to think in line with the word of God, people. We got to think in line with the word of God. Some of y'all jumping on the boat with the world, calling Mormons Christians, and talking about they Christian, they teaching the Christian word of God. No, they not. That is not scripture. That is against scripture, okay? Now, let's go to one of the Lord's other books called The Record of the Nephite. Record of Nephite. And we're going to go to what is called the Book of Alma in the Record of Nephite, chapter 12. The Book of Alma, chapter 12. Now, I'm going to let God's servant here, Alma, minister to you. Amen. And showing you that this is today, in this time, that you choose what your destiny will be in the hereafter. It is not, I repeat, it is not going to be after you die and in the afterlife. You choose this day. Hmm. Okay, now, Alma chapter 12, verse 24. Alma chapter 12, verse 24. And this is what he said. He said, and we see that death comes upon mankind, yea, the death, which has been spoken of by Amalek, that's another one of God's servants, which is the temporal death. Nevertheless, there was a space, now listen to this, there was a space granted unto man in which he might repent. That space meaning a time. Therefore, this life became as a probationary state, a time to prepare to be God, a time to prepare for that, what, endless state. That's your destiny, your total destiny, the endless state, whether it's in happiness, endless state forever in peace with God, or in misery and torment, endless state forever without God. And he says, which has been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. Now, in verse 34, same chapter, he says, therefore, whosoever repenteth and hardeneth not his heart, he shall have claim on mercy through my only begotten son. You're going to have claim on it by doing what? Repenting. When? Now, because we just read, Alma said, this time became a time of a probationary state. We are in a probationary state now to make a decision now. Now, he goes on to say, therefore, whosoever repenteth and hardeneth not his heart, he shall have claim on mercy through my only begotten son unto the remission of their sins, and these shall enter into my rest. And whosoever will harden his heart and will do iniquity, behold, I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. And now, my brethren, behold, I say unto you that if you will harden your hearts, ye shall not enter into the rest of the Lord. Therefore, your iniquity provoketh him, that he sendeth down his wrath upon you as in the first provocation. Yea, according to the word in the last provocation, as well as in the first, to the everlasting destruction of your souls, everlasting, everlasting, people. Therefore, according to his word, unto the last death as well as the first. Do you see that? See, Alma's telling you, in this probationary state, you choose to not accept the word of God, not accept the gospel. You choose what endless state you're going to be in it, but it's got to be in this time, just as well as on the good side. If you choose to accept the gospel and live according to the word of God, you're choosing what endless state you're going to live in the hereafter, in the afterlife. But remember, it is in this time. It is not in the afterlife, okay? It's not in the hereafter, people. It is in this time, this day, you choose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the third book of the Lord's book called The Word of the Lord. Now, this is the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ through his angel messenger, called the Elijah. Modern day word God given today, because you got some people, even in the among Christians, who have listened to this off the wall preaching and teaching that the Lord God is not speaking today. They have listened to people tell them that God has done all the speaking he's going to do. Back in the days of Paul, Peter, Moses, David, he's not speaking today. Amen? That's what they're telling people. And some Christians have taken it by the bull horns, and they're running with it. Okay? So when you talk about God speaking today, they looking all buck-eyed, eyes probably rolling around their head, looking all over, looking in the clouds while you're talking, have this look on their face like, I wish he would go ahead, say what he got to say so I can get away from him, because I think he's crazy, kind of look on their face. Okay? Amen. Now, in what is called the 80th message, okay, and the Lord sent this message out, and remember, I like to give you dates, August the 15th, 1964. So in your private prayer time, you got a date. You got a date, okay? You got a date. Amen. Now, in what is referred to as the seventh verse, this is what the Lord said plainly. He said, mankind. Now, who covers mankind? That's male or female, white, black, Chinese. If you're orange, which would be scary to me, but if you're orange, whatever, human, mankind chooses this day, what his destiny in the hereafter shall be. Not might be, but shall be. Shall be. See, the Lord said might be at the end of that verse, you can go, you know, this kind of, you're telling me that one can do something, but he can be in the opposite. You know, if he just said might be, but he didn't say might be, he said shall be. Shall be. He said mankind choose today. And get this, people, this is an individual decision. No one else can make it for you. That's why this baptism for the dead stuff, that's another reason why that don't even carry no weight. No one else can do that for you, okay? You don't read in the scripture where even when people were here on earth, that was alive, when they were here on earth, you didn't read nobody just getting baptized for them, okay? They had to get baptized themselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at one more verse here. 103rd message. Look at message 103. Thank God for the word of God, okay? Message 103, verse 22. Now, look what the word of God has to say here. And once again, this message is given March 22nd, 1987. March 22nd, 1987, okay? So I gave you another date. Take it along in prayer. Amen. Glory to God. Now, verse 22. Look what it said. He said, it is given for man once to live, once to die. Now, if I go any further, once to live, once to die. See, that get rid of that old reincarnation jump. See, some of you are Christian. You caught up in that reincarnation jump. So people say, well, you know, I believe in the other lifetime I was a crow. I was on the stick and I was watching everybody. Come on, man. Come on now. You know, you know, the devil just sitting in the corner laughing at us and calling us fools. Yeah, I'm just being honest with you, because we just, some of us just accepting every off the wall stuff that's coming out of folks' mouth. You know, and it really tells us where we at. Even in our study, you know that? It tells what it is. It's just like when you were going to school. Remember when you were going to school? When the teacher asks you certain questions, especially when there were certain easy questions, and you just, like you got lost and sitting there, you couldn't answer, many times that told where you were in your studies. Where did it tell you? You weren't studying. That's what it was telling you. Amen. He said, it is given for man once to live, once to die, in this life of probation. Just like the Reverend Nephite told us, and we even see in the Bible, that this was a probationary period. Because this is why you find, even in the New Testament, why Jesus was telling people to repent. Except you repent, you will likewise perish. and had his servants telling people to what? Repent. When? This day, this time. You don't read no one from Jesus to Peter, Paul, none of the disciples telling you to repent in the afterlife. You ain't find that scripture, people. If you do, the number is 515-605-9887. 515-605-9887. You show me the scriptures in the Bible. Word of the Lord, of Reckon Nephi. And most of you just know the Bible. I just go with you with the Bible. You show me the scriptures in the Bible where you were told to repent in the afterlife or in the hereafter. Any of you, okay? Now, he goes on to say, it's a given for man wants to live, wants to die in this life of probation, being judged according to the deeds done in the flesh while here, each destiny his own destiny. Each. Individual, people. You destiny your own destiny. You're in this time setting the tone for the hereafter where you're going to be. You setting the tone in this lifetime with your decision making where you're going to be spending your endless state in the hereafter. See, this time has a state where it ends. It is referred to that afterlife at the inward endless state when this time is up. It's an endless state, okay? You're going into an endless state. That's why you're really encouraging people, not forcing them, to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Because if they die in their sin, that endless state ain't going to be nothing nice. It ain't like you got a headache and you go down the street and get something to take for your headache and your head stopped. This is an endless state with the torment. Let me put it to you this way. Have any of you ever had, for example, like I told you, God delivered me from migraines. Have any of y'all ever had a migraine or a headache that just nag you? I mean, it just tormented you. Some of you may have had that headache all day. I mean, it wasn't, not only did you feel its presence, but it tormented you. It nagged. It's like you can't get nothing going. You don't feel like getting nothing going. And it's like it's constant pain. And you got to a point, man, you just tired of it, okay? Well, think about that and multiply it times, I don't know how many times over, and having an endless state. Because at least at some point, at some time here on this earth, if you had a type of headache like that, you can take some of something given that more or less would stop it. In the endless state of misery and torment, people, there is no antidote, especially when you cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. It's bad enough in hell, but especially when you cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, there is no antidote. There is no place there in the lake of fire and brimstone where you can go and say, well, maybe I can stand over here and get a little relief for about 5 or 10 minutes. You can counsel that. You can counsel that. Counsel it, okay? Counsel it. And see, the Mormons are teaching this ungodly teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. That it's not of God. So they believe that, hey, you know, when Christ comes, he's going to deal with doing these ordinances. I read to you with the ordinances. One of them involves the baptism. And that the missionary work, as they say, going to continue on to the those in the spirit prison. After they had died, they'd have been rejected, still got opportunity. And see, we ain't even gotten to this 3 degrees of glory of a kingdom that they talked about. These three kingdoms, you might well say they look at it as four, but three of, you know, it just, wow. It's just wow, you know. But this is where we at, people. And, you know, as Christians, We got to understand why the Lord, number one, wants us to get in a relationship with him. Number two, especially why he talks about studying the Word of God. People, I'm telling you, there are people out there who has a particularly cunning way of talking that can fool you if you're not spiritually minded. And the Lord tells us to be spiritually minded, or we will not detect the works of the enemy. And we're missing, many times we're missing the works of the enemy because, once again, Satan has people coming with this off-the-wall stuff that they're saying, this off-the-wall talking that they're coming with, okay? And many of us have accepted hook, line, or sinker. We have accepted hook, line, or sinker. And, you know, I think about this, and as I told you guys that, you know, and tomorrow, Lord say the same. The one I'll be dealing with is the Jehovah's Witness tomorrow. As I said to you at the beginning of the broadcast, I had this request about, you know, would I be doing any on these other religions? And to be honest with you, and I don't remember what series I was doing, but this actually come to me again, I don't know, quite a bit back here a few months ago about doing series on dealing with these other religions. As a Christian, you need to know how to minister to them, okay? And you have to see it as they need of help, not so much as to lift you up in pride to make you think you're better than anyone, but you got to see that they need your help because Satan is deceiving them, and then Satan is deceiving them even through man to make them think that certain things, just like with the Jehovah's Witness, they reject, Lord say the same tomorrow, I'll be dealing with how they reject the deity of Christ. And I did a series on the Jehovah's Witness when we was on another broadcast called God's Word to Man. And since we've been here, I don't think I've done it on this broadcast. So you got people like them that believe that Jesus is a God, little g, and not the God. Okay? Amen. And so that will cause you to reject his deity, and it actually will cause you to degrade or put Jesus down when he should be lifted up. Okay? This is why you have, and I've heard some Christians, some Jehovah's Witness with my own ears saying, Jesus can't do nothing for me because I believe in Jehovah God, you know, stuff like that, you know. So, and so the thing in a nutshell is this, and this is what we need to understand, that as we look at this topic now, renouncing Mormonism, the coming resurrection, and the eternal judgment, we want to understand this, that we believe in the Word of God, which shows us that it is in this day and time that you make your decision. That the Word shows that this day and time is a time of a probationary period. Once again, if you were given the opportunity to make a decision after you die, then number one, you wouldn't need the gospel preached to you in this hour. Okay? And see, as we go on to look at another time, according to them, you basically going to see everybody going to make it in a sense. They got a few that's what they call cast into a outer darkness. But these three kingdoms that they be talking about, they got some of everybody. I mean, some of whoever make it. Okay? That's the thing on that. And Lord said the same, when we come to this series again, we will be dealing with more on this. Amen. Like I said, the Lord said the same tomorrow, I'll be dealing with the Jehovah's Witness. Amen. And the next day probably we'll be dealing with another religion. I don't know which one yet, but glory be to God. So, you know, it's truly indeed a blessing. And I would say this once again, I believe that, you know, there are different things in Christianity we need to, topics to be taught on. So I'm not just going to label this as just the only one major one. But this is one of the needed because, you know, as Christians, some of us, when we go out here and we meet these other religions, some of us don't even know what to say. And sometimes some stuff they be saying actually be sounding pretty good. It actually be sounding somewhat like, okay, they actually know what they're talking about. You know, it's just like we're here with Mormons. Mormons take some truth and they twist it. See, when you look up certain stuff they say, sometimes you be reading, you go, oh, okay, well, what they said, that was right, that was right. But you got to really read and listen carefully because they're very cunning with their words, okay? Very cunning with their words, okay? You know, just like I gave for example, if you ask them straight out, do you believe in Jesus? They'll tell you, yeah. Do you believe Jesus is God? They'll tell you, yeah. But then when you really explore what they mean about it, yeah, Jesus is a God, a separate God. And he had to earn his godhood. See, when you come down and looking at all that, you go, whoa, wait a minute now. Whoa. What? So that's why I tell you, their cunning words offer that if we don't, you know the right question to ask or investigate, we will be deceived. Point blank, we will be deceived. We will actually go around and tell people, man, yeah, they're Christians, they're saved, blah, 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 you know, and they're brother and sister in Christ. And they're not. They're not. Amen. Now, like I told you, Joe Smith started off as a man of God. I really hated that he started Mormonism because look at this stuff, the stuff that they coming with today. I mean, stuff that make your eyes almost want to pop out your head. You'd be like, my goodness, where they getting this stuff from? You know, it's that bad. And you know what? It seemed like many times some stuff they say so off the wall, you don't have to really have a spiritual revelation to know that that just don't sound, that don't make no sense. But see, because they're able to get people who are not in the Word, this is including some Christians, then they can come with these little slick, smooth talking and talk all soft and, you know, and people are like, well, you know, there's some nice people. And don't get me wrong. Some of them are some nice people. But nice people ain't getting it, people. You can be nice to me, but if you're teaching that Jesus is a nobody, I don't care how nice you act, okay? You done got off the mark pretty bad. I ain't walking with you, okay? Amen. Father, we thank you for the blessed word of God today. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do in the name of Jesus Christ. We magnify you. We glorify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, we thank God for the blessed word. Don't forget tonight at 7, Brother Eddie Lee will be back with a full gospel message. Look for it at 7 p.m. tonight. And glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate of the Church Christ Eliza Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.